Our study this morning is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 3-10, focusing on and exposing the true external marks of godly ministries. In discerning whether a ministry is credibly led and empowered by God as opposed to human merit, the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16-18, that true ministries deal with unseen, that is, they deal with the spiritual realm. However, we can still discern external characteristics of God-led, God-empowered ministries. A subject of great importance in practical ministry and life is explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 3-10 as follows. We have to remember that the Lord Jesus himself said, "Woe to you if all men speak well of you, for so spoke they of the false prophets that were before you." But then he, at another place he said, "But if you are ridiculed and so forth, rebuked and slandered and so forth, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." So, the question is, how then can you discern between a true and a non-true ministry? And that's where we get into the passage that we have before us this morning. I'd like to look to God in prayer before we get into the Word. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to gather together as part of the flock of God. We thank you for the Word of God that we have in our own language, the Holy Spirit, as the paraclete, the one who runs alongside to help us, who clarifies the truth of the Word of God to us. We pray, Father, for wisdom, first of all, to comprehend the Word, and then to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it in depth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. "Giving no offense in anything, that the minister be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the servants of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unhypocritical, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many wealthy, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Okay, let me describe what's going on. The Apostle Paul explained that in all things he and his ministry team sought to clarify the validity of their ministries, that they not become spiritual stumbling blocks to the discipling process and bringing disrepute to God or spiritual ruin to a fellow Christian. Now, there were specific external characteristics by which the unseen presence and power of a Holy Spirit in the ministry would be discerned. Characteristics onlookers could use to realize they were of the Lord so as not to stumble in disillusionment. And we're going to look at those this morning. First of all, godly ministries are marked by great steadfastness. It's the Hebrew, the Greek word hupomone, and it's applied to various trials like beatings, imprisonment, riots, hard work, insomnia, and hunger. One of the characteristics of a true work of God has to be seen only over a process of time. This is why the Apostle Paul, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5 or 1 Timothy chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5 indicated some men's sins go before, some follow after, those that are otherwise cannot be hid. This is why he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. If you wait for time, eventually the characteristics will come out. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell if a ministry is really a godly ministry at first exposure or within a 10-minute period of time. Sometimes you can tell, not always. But certainly the long haul or the long time period will reveal this. Because one of the characteristics of a true ministry is that in spite of troubles, in spite of tendencies to shift and make the ministry volatile, the person who's serving remains steadfast. There's a continuity, there's a consistency there. Then also, godly ministries are marked by purity in terms of practical righteousness. Verse 6, by pureness. Now, this doesn't mean that the person is always automatically sinless, but it does mean that the person has a track record that, relatively speaking, is very, very good. And that's something you need to watch out for. I was visiting a church one time on vacation. My wife and I are vacation visiting her her dad when he was living in Indiana. And we went to a church, and the minister gave a message, and everybody kind of oohed and aahed about it. A year later, I went back to visit, and then I asked about the minister, and this is all. He went off the deep end and got involved in some sort of gross sin or something and had to get removed from the ministry. And all of a sudden, nobody's oohing and aahing about him. So his ministry didn't, it was a quick flash and boom, like a firecracker, he exploded. That's not something that is of the Lord. And then godly ministries are marked by understanding, namely a practical knowledge displayed in sensitivity in dealing with other people. The last part of verse 6, by long suffering. Practical knowledge. Then godly ministers are marked by patience, the capacity to bear up under the oversights and wrongs afflicted by others without retaliation. The word makrothumia means a long temper. A person can take a whole lot, even of abusive treatment, without retaliating. Then godly ministries are marked by kindness. It's the Greek word krestoteti, or love in action. The last part of verse 6. By kindness. And then godly ministries are marked by the Holy Spirit's love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and right, listed in your New International Version. Or it could be by means of the Holy Spirit's control, Ephesians 5, 18, where a person is controlled by the Spirit versus being controlled by drugs or something else. Godly ministries are also marked by an unhypocritical love, the last part of verse 6, by love unfeigned. An unhypocritical love is not a gushy kind of love. You've been around people that are like that, and in fact, it's so exuberant, you wonder what world, you know, is this real or not? Well, that's not really of the Lord. A true or an unhypocritical love is a love that demonstrates itself in action over a period of time. It's a commitment. So we have to be very, very careful of people who are exhibiting a false type of love. Then godly ministries are marked by truthful speech. The word of truth in verse 7, the first part, actually means a person has a tendency to be honest. They're candid. They're direct with you. And yet in a kind way. Godly ministries also are marked by evidences of the power of God in the ministry itself. By the power of God. When you see an individual, you come in and the minister is speaking or the teacher is teaching, all of a sudden it hits something that affects your life, and you recognize, you know, that's... And we've had this happen recently where people have come and said, you know, all week long the Lord was dealing with me. Here I show up and bam, the message deals with it right head on. That's demonstration of the power of God, because that's not a human power. The human minister has no capacity to control that because he doesn't know what you're thinking. He doesn't know what you're experiencing many times during the week. But if it just happens to, you know, land on that, wow, then that's an effect that demonstrates the presence of the power of God in the ministry. Also, godly ministries are marked by evidences of one's reliance on God to function victoriously with spiritual weapons of righteousness from angelic attacks in any realm of his life. In verse 7, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. The term right hand on the left is a antonymical pair, which means everything in between. So that wherever this person turns in his life, even though he has trouble, he might have trouble in health, trouble in finances, trouble in family relationships, trouble in relationships with other churches at the job, everywhere else, there always is a buoyancy where the person still comes out and they can rely on the Lord. So that's one of the characteristics of the true ministry. What happens when this person is pushed under pressure? And in every realm, is there still a buoyancy that holds this person up? If there isn't, then he doesn't have the power of God. But if there's a buoyancy that allows him to continue to function, that is something that is of the Lord. Then godly ministries are marked by very notable paradoxes in experience. In verses 8 through 10, I'm very grateful for these verses because I remember when I first got into the pastorate, I suffered with disillusionment because there were extreme reactions. There would be a very positive reaction, there would be a very negative reaction, there would be a very productive reaction, then there would be a reaction that made you wonder, why am I spinning my wheels trying to do this? Well, believe it or not, that paradox is very typical of a godly ministry. And the reason for that is, if you're involved in a godly ministry, Satan is involved trying to counter it every way he can. And if there's an individual who is influenced by the evil one, he will oppose you. And the more effectively you're being used of the Lord, the more potently will be that opposition. So a godly ministry will be marked by a degree of paradoxes. And let me explain these. Godly ministries are marked by paradoxes of conflicting responses by onlookers. Verse 8, by honor, dishonor, by evil report, by good report, as deceivers and yet true. Some dishonor while others honor the one who is ministering. That's very, very true. I'll never forget one day a lady and her husband came into my office to visit me, and she essentially shared that she was convinced that my ministry was of Satan. Actually told me that. And I was sitting there, I mean, I've never had anybody be that direct in reference to that. And yet I've had responses of just the other kind. So that contrast, and that threw me at the time because I couldn't understand, you know, what is going on here? Have I done something wrong? That's immediately the thing you ask is, what have I done? You know, what's creating this reaction? But you have to be careful not to be too thrown by that, because paradoxes, strong conflicting responses are very typical of a godly ministry, because you're involved in an angelic conflict. And when you're teaching truth, you're never going to get a neutral reaction. There's going to be an incessant reaction or a strong reaction. Either people will get very defensive or negative, or they'll respond to it positively, because every time they hear spiritual truth, they have to make a reaction. They have to respond to it. You cannot stay neutral. And that's very typical of the spiritual ministry. Some give a good report while others give a bad report of the ministry. Some view the true servants of God as deceivers, while others see them as genuinely led of the Lord. That's the last part of verse 6, as deceivers and yet true. Godly ministries are marked by paradoxes of conflicting responses to trouble. That's what verse 9 is all about. As unknown yet well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as chastened and yet but not killed. Though such godly ministries are unacknowledged by the ungodly, they are approved by the Lord. Though such ministries are often viewed as dying by an ungodly viewpoint, they still survive. And then, though such ministries suffer abuse from the ungodly, they are still not destroyed. And that's very typical of the ministry of the Lord. Then, godly ministries are marked by paradoxes in the effects of the ministry efforts. Verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many wealthy, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Such ministries are expected to be sorrowful from the world's perspective, but those involved always rejoice. I know this doesn't make sense, but I have learned over the years in the ministry, some of my favorite times of minister is when just a very few have showed up. Sometimes Sunday nights we'll have maybe four or five people. Sometimes we've had as many as one, in addition to my wife and me. But every time that type of thing happens, there's always a tremendous interaction that occurs, and you go home just wondering what happened. It's just amazing. I never forget the fact the Lord Jesus Christ left huge throngs of people down in Judea, and he went north into Samaria, a very despised area, and he talked with a woman at the well. She was a despised, outcast woman. That's why she was coming alone instead of going with the other ladies, because she was seen as immoral and so forth. And Jesus took time to spend time with this one individual. And the disciples came and said, Lord, you haven't had anything to eat. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Here was a woman who was very open, responsive to the gospel. She believed in her Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then she went back and told the people, here's somebody who's told me everything that I've ever done. This has got to be the Messiah. So they came out. And many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus Christ. I've had that kind of experience many times. In fact, sometimes I really get excited if there happens to be a low group or something. Sometimes in prayer meeting, one night it's just a couple showed up besides my wife and me. And this couple had a tremendous burden and they opened up. We spent 10, 15 minutes where they were just opening up, sharing the burden that was on their heart. Well, if there had been other people there, they wouldn't have felt free to do that. The Lord knew it, so he allowed everything to be arranged so that we could deal just with that couple and to meet the needs of their heart. So, such ministries are expected to be sorrowful from the world's perspective, but those involved always rejoice. Such ministries are often marked by financial poverty from the world's perspective, though they make so many people spiritually rich. I've shared many times before, I would rather continue ministry in an EPOG church than to receive a call to go to another church where I would be paid $1 million a year. Because this is the will of God right here. Stepping out of this and stepping out of the will of God to go and earn $1 million in some other church, forget it. I left a small church. The first church I was in, it had 35 people. I left it for a church of 400. It's the worst mistake I ever made in my life. The salary tripled, but it was absolutely miserable because it wasn't the fit. It wasn't what the Lord wanted. So I learned from that. Never again. So you have to be careful. Such ministries are marked by financial poverty from the world's perspective, though they make many people rich. Such ministries are often marked by material lack, but their spiritual blessings are absolutely abundant. And that's true. We've seen the Lord bless sometimes in ways that are abounding. So though a true godly ministry is an inward spiritual one rather than an externalistic show, it still produces observable characteristics, as listed above, that one can use to verify its credibility. So may we test all questionable ministries that we or others have by these practical external markers listed in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 3-10, for our edifying insight and direction. Now, before I turn this over to the free-for-all time that we have, give and take, I just want to make this observation. This morning's lesson is out of 2 Corinthians 6. The sermon this morning is on the table of showbread, and I found out that it happens to be the ministry. It typifies the ministry of Bible exposition by God's ministers. All right? And we'll get into the depths of that. Tonight's message is out of the book of Amos. I mean, the morning service is out of Exodus. Tonight is out of the book of Amos, and it's all on the reaction of God's people to his servants, whether they were the Nazarites who were raised up to be examples of holiness or whether the prophets. I don't know why, but all three of those have to do with the people of God and their responses to ministries. So take it for wherever it's worth. Apparently the Lord wants that as an emphasis. And I'm just sharing you this information because we just happen to be coming across it this morning. Apparently, for some reason, the Lord wants this particular subject involved. But so I'm just giving this as his messenger, and I'm very cognizant of the fact that the Lord is the one who's involved in leading in the ministry, and the job that he's given me is merely to follow him and to break out the bread that he has for the people of God so that they can digest it. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this subject, or I call this a free-for-all time. This is one of the best times, I think, of our church week. If there's another issue that has come up or a question that you have on some other area, feel free to bring it up, too.